All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to a brand new launch of the Marla and Company show.
So fancy.
It is.
It's really fancy.
And so we've got an awesome kickoff. Lots going on. Marla, how are you?
I'm great. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
We have a ton of things to talk about. We've got some fantastic guests. But first, tell me a little bit about, you know, what your plans are for the show and how excited you are, because this is awesome.
This is so exciting. This is like my old stomping grounds with Joe D in the room. I got like two great people I'm so excited to introduce today. We're in our old studio. This is like the first studio that we ever...
I know. That's exactly right. You and I have done about 50, 60 shows in this studio, and so I was excited also. Certainly, we have so much going on, and especially in this wild and crazy world. But we have great professionals on the program. We're going to talk about medicine. We're going to talk about the law. Mm-hmm. We always try to kind of start off with some kind of current event to kind of just set everything up. You know, it's been such a crazy time in our country, and that's, you know, this is where we get to push all that stuff out and talk sports and do it for the first 5 minutes before we go in. Marla, as a longtime, Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader and somebody who's obviously affiliated with the alumni of that organization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were all 5 years, listen, we won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this. I talked about it a million times in my life. I just wanted to see one parade of green. Now, look, once you get one, you want more. But the point is, it felt good. It felt good. And now I find myself watching the games going, thank God we got one. Thank God we got one.
I know.
But obviously, so much going on. What are you thinking?
So my initial thought, I feel like everybody should kind of get a pass for COVID season on the football, from the players to the coaches. I mean, they let poor Doug Peterson go.
Like, yeah.
What the hell? I mean, the thing is that nothing was the same. You know, training wasn't the way it should be. I'm not saying that he made the best decisions this season, but maybe could have cut him a break a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. I think it was between him and Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like Doug was kind of not the same. Mm-hmm. And I say that he just looked like he was in his hat. He looked like he was, I'm not saying not motivated, because he's a motivated guy, you know, but one of the things I loved most about him was he surrounded himself with good people and he let them do their job.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he didn't trust the process or the situation around him, because certainly they had, you know, one time all year, if even that, where they had the same offensive line, never back to back. But you know, so it's been somewhat traumatic, and now we're rebuilding, and we just couldn't. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to, if you would, bring our guests into the program so that they can join in this little discussion before we get into the business at hand.
So I mean, let me just tell you something. This is like a very exciting morning, because I have two outstanding professionals that are sitting at this table with us right now that make such a world of difference in patients' lives and clients' lives. They fight tooth and nail to get these patients and clients exactly what they need to heal them back to their, not only their baseline, but even better than they were doing prior to them walking in their door. I have Dr. AJ Verstoge. Hi, AJ.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here today. And I also just want to also introduce Alan Eidinger. Am I saying that right? I know everybody.
Yeah, but wait a second.
Everybody butchers it.
So good coming out. And then I'm like, that wasn't right.
It's Eigeldinger.
Eigeldinger.
Good morning, Marla.
Good morning. So, how about you guys just like give us like a brief, like quick introduction? We're going to get to really know you and have everybody like understand what you do professionally, and give us a couple words on
Doc.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. AJ Verstoge, I am the founding partner and CEO of North American Spine and Pain. We are one of the few comprehensive pain and spine type clinics in the tri-state area. We're in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. We see approximately over 100,000 visits a year. We have 22 clinicians. And we try to really have a model where it's convenient for the patient to get all of whatever they need under the sun, under one roof, for pain from A to Z. And we try to make access to care very easy. So any type of insurance, try to get patient in within 48 to 72 hours. So, you know, we've really grown with this model, and it's worked for us, and we're excited to kind of help the community at large.
There's so many satellites now. I mean, you guys are literally everywhere. How many different locations do you have now?
So we're at about 16 locations.
Wow.
There are, you know, I think the satellites for us, you know, our growth model has always been very organic. Mm-hmm. I think it comes from a community-based need where other health institutions, large primary care bases, hospitals say, you know, we need proper, high-quality, very compliant pain management and interventional spine programs here. Would you be open to coming and opening a clinic here? And, you know, that's part of the reason why we have some of the new ones. Like Langhorne is very much a clinic like that.
Wow.
Where it was someone came to us and said, we need you in the community.
Yeah.
So we opened a new clinic, and we hired a physician who, you know, we brought into the NASPAC family. And it's been going really well, and we expect to see more of those.
That's awesome. I mean, a need and a demand to open is the way you want to open. I mean, come on.
You're
like,
not just looking at the map going, man, I there's no coverage there. We're jumping on it and then holding your breath.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. I mean, no question. And by the way, and at that point, there's no excuse for anybody not being able to, you know, find it, a location that works for them. I mean, the convenience.
16. That's like quite an accomplishment. That's like amazing.
And you did it in 2 weeks. That's incredible.
In 2 weeks, right?
A couple days. Yeah, a couple days. You know, and a testament to our team.
Yeah.
Our team's fantastic. You know, they really do help us open these locations very quickly. And, you know, I always talk about the amazing job they did during COVID.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't telehealth at all. And over 48 hours, they took us from zero telehealth to 100% telehealth. And that made a world of difference during 2020.
Oh my God.
A world of difference.
Being able to adjust this to this pandemic. It's we've talked about it, you know, a number of times.
Yes, we have.
It's and right now, you know, we're still in a, you know, a world where it's you know, we're the vaccines out and all those things, but it's not complete by any stretch completely yet rolled out. And so still, people are feeling cautious and need that flexibility to be able to, because you're dealing, the difference is you're dealing with your injury, your case, your livelihood, and your life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Not much in the balance there, right? I mean, people who are high risk, you know, it's a lot on the line. And imagine if they can't, yeah, obviously they can't work yet. They're, and some injuries, as you know, we've discussed before, they need the medical attention, and they need to be able to either X-rays and do rehabilitation. But if you're looking at your life, your limb, you know, it's
you can't afford to wait.
You can't.
Right.
You need that,
right?
And you can't be shut out. I'm sure that also keeps you in communication with everybody, having that opportunity. Alan, if you would, tell us about yourself and your practice.
Certainly, pleasure to be here this morning, Alan Eigeldinger. I work for the law offices of Craig Altman. We do personal injury work and workers' comp work in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey. We have a team of 5 lawyers at the office. We've been steadily growing over the last few years. And we provide our clients with a lot of personal attention, a lot of one-on-one. If they need us to go out to their house, we do that. That's what we do.
So what type of a client specifically? So if you have somebody, let's like walk them through, you know, if they're in an accident or they have some type of event in their life, what do you say to those people? How do they know if they need representation?
Well, the first thing would be, you know, if you're injured in the accident, obviously that's, you know, what we do. We do personal injury work. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a car accident, a slip and fall, we do products liability cases. Mm-hmm. We do medical malpractice cases, and we represent injured workers both in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And what I would recommend, if somebody's injured in an accident, you need to get a lawyer right away, because these insurance companies are not there to help you. A lot of times they try to take advantage of the clients, and you know, we got to fend them off and actually get what the client deserves.
Yeah. What's interesting, Flo never mentions that, by the way. You know, Flo, or we don't get you what you need.
I know. Listen, she's so cute. She comes up with her apron. It's like, you know, a household name now.
You know, it's ridiculous, but I'm sitting there with my wife, and now I've done, you know, we do a lot of legal shows, and I learn a little bit from attorneys like yourself, and we only get you what you need. I'll bet you that goes up your crawl like there's no tomorrow,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That's got to be something.
They send out a little lizard to do the job, too.
I know. Oh, the little lizard. He's so cute. And you can even do it online. But so many people. And, you know, we're going to also talk about, obviously, the connection between the medical and the legal, why that is obviously so important. Because when you're dealing with an injury, and it's an injury case, everything's in the medical.
Yeah.
And so, you said something interesting there that I think is, you know, is so important. When you say you need to get a lawyer as soon as possible, the reason you do, and this is for people like me who are driving down the street and somebody comes right in, hits you in the back, you don't, and we're going to get into the insurance company's protocols, jump in immediately.
Of course, they're right on it.
They're on it from... You know, and there's so many different. Let's just talk about an auto accident. And what I really also love is the fact that you guys do work comp and personal injury, which takes the communication between the two, and you know, eliminates it so that the left hand always knows what the right hand's doing. Absolutely. So there's a lot to talk about. But when somebody gets injured in an automobile accident, because that's the most prevalent type. You know, what are the first things that they should do, and then talk, and then how it relates to what they shouldn't do in regards to their insurance companies?
Well, the thing is right away the insurance companies will get right on the investigation, and they're going to want to take recorded statements and get things down. And you're in a, you know, you just were in an accident. You're probably upset, panicked, in pain, and you might say things or do things that are going to hurt your case ultimately down the road. That's why I say always have an attorney right away.
Right.
That way they can take care. We've been down this road a ton of times. My firm's been in practice for 30 years. I've been with the firm 24 years. So it's, I've been down this road thousands of times.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be able to protect that client for them doing anything to hurt themselves.
Yeah.
And they can also hurt themselves with their own insurance company, correct?
Absolutely. On both sides of the fence, whether it's, you know, your own insurance company, your medical bills, and your uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You got underinsured motorist, the other individual is not. Doesn't have insurance, and now if you have under or uninsured or under, now you're an adversary situation with your own insurance company.
Exactly, and they're going to, you know, come on to you right in the beginning, like, oh, you know, we're going to take care of everything, we're going to do that. You've now said some things or done some things that will hurt your case, and you can't undo that and fix it.
Yeah,
that's why you need an attorney right away.
And I think the hardest part for this, and just, you know, and you guys know I'm a nurse. I've been in the medical field. I've been in the legal field. Worked for law firms too as a nurse. And the thing is that's so frustrating, because your insurance company is the place that you're supposed to trust. You know, insurance in case something, like, they act like they are there to catch you when you fall, and you start putting in cash. When I say that, whether it's your employer or it's coming out of your pocket, where you're putting in, you're paying for insurance, whether it's life insurance, auto insurance, medical insurance, and this little cash stack, and it keeps going up and up and up. And you may not have touched it for 6 months, a year, or years.
Yeah, years.
But when you need it, they're standing there with a lock and bolt around your cash saying, sorry, you can't have this because you don't qualify, or this isn't the way the case went down. I'm sorry, it's not our fault. It's your medical problem. You had these pre-existing conditions.
You get that all the time.
I mean, it's so frustrating for patients and for clients who have paid into that system and can't get the help that they need.
Exactly. But that's why that's why you need a lawyer right away, so they can, you know, make sure the proper things are said, make sure the proper information comes to the insurance company to present you in the best light.
Yeah.
And an example of that would be somebody as simple as this. And this is, having this, how you feeling? Now, this is your own insurance company
don't
guy.
Don't say good.
Well, you just,
don't great. Say good. Whatever you do.
Well, my point is, you don't know how badly you're going to be injured. Mm-hmm. We had a little fender bender. The next year, we were kids when it happened, but the guy hit us. She felt fine. For the next year, until 1 year on New Year's, it must have been close to New Year's, the following New Year's Day morning, we woke up and the disc exploded in her neck, but she kept getting pinched nerves. We didn't even connect the two because we were kids, right?
Sure.
But she felt fine that day. We never even filed anything until, I mean, we just didn't. And is the statute of limitations over 30 years? I'm asking.
No.
I'm just asking.
2 years of Pennsylvania.
Can we still go back? No, but the truth is,
2 years isn't bad though. Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, figure it out in 2 years.
I know. We were kids and we were just, but we just didn't know our rights and our information. And sometimes when the insurance company asks you how you're feeling, if on that day, if they ask you right away, the question is if you feel okay, because you're just trying to be honest. They'll use that against you, Mike.
Oh, of course. I can't tell you how many times I've had cases where the person comes in, says, you know, look, I'm having a little pain in the neck, a little pain in the back. I'm not sure how big of a deal it is. I'm going to go get it checked out.
Yeah.
And then what happens is it doesn't get better. It actually gets worse over time, mm-hmm. and significantly worse,
yeah.
and which ultimately may require injections, which a doctor or AJ does. Dr. Asogi, or, you know, even surgery. Even though it started out as a small, small thing, it ends up being a major problem, a major life event that changes your life forever.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to look out for, because the insurance companies will use those initial conversations when you were just in a little bit of pain and use that against you down the line.
Yeah. And so they record it.
Exactly.
And they record it.
Exactly.
We see that all the time, Alan. You know, I think it's very common. You have all this adrenaline going through your system after an accident.
Oh, yeah.
And there are a lot of people that adrenaline overrides the amount of pain they're initially feeling.
Certainly.
So it isn't until that adrenaline goes away and they start to settle in and then, you know, over nighttime or the next morning when they wake up and they realize, oh, I'm in an insane amount of pain and I'm very stiff and something's wrong.
It could be days after, right? Isn't it like 4 days,
time.
5 days?
It can take time. I mean, you're building up all this inflammation when you've had a trauma, especially if you've torn something or fractured something or herniated a disc. All of that takes time for the body to manifest that symptom.
Sure.
And over time, you're losing that adrenaline kick that's helping you override that pain.
And then the other piece of it is once you're in the accident, then you rest or you get that initial medical treatment. And then when you start getting back to your normal activities of your daily life is when you start to realize you're even more aggravated or, you know, you have a little bit more, you can't lift over your head like you used to prior to the accident. So, you know, and it's whether it's a comp injury or whether it's auto and you have to report this to your employer, everybody's like hands off, like, you know, it was your auto accident. If you had a third party accident, you got hurt at work, but you know, you're going to find something to say.
It's unbelievable. You know what you're saying, you know, how many, you've been through it so many times with your clients, you've seen, the pre-existing injuries and the light duty type stuff and all those where you know that they're just screwing the poor guy or poor woman right there, and they're just at a loss. And this is all to talk about getting legal counsel right away. And Alan, I'm going to take a shot at this, but you know your services.
Yes,
that people aren't paying out of their pocket up front. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely not. At my firm, we pay for all costs of the case up front, and if we don't recover anything, you don't owe us a penny.
Yeah,
we're
that's
square.
Amazing.
And because, you know, that's we great. Should only recover if we're able to do something for the client. And, you know, our fee is very reasonable. We only charge 1/3. You know, other firms I know in the city charge
45%.
That's only if I win.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's the best deal on the planet.
It is.
If you think about that. I mean, come on.
I was an attorney briefly, but I was charging like 10 grand just to get on the phone. and listen, flat out, and you cannot get me. But
loan sharking or
was
that?
In cash.
Okay.
I mentioned that.
Dude, you didn't
And I can get your settlement within 3 weeks, definitely 6 figures.
No problem.
Having said that, though, it always amazes me. And I mean it every time I hear that, you know, when you know, you talk about, you know, just fronting your service, investing in the case. Let's talk about the medical side. Marla, you talked about have a trusted your legal counsel is obviously it's an important part of your situation when you get in that, but also your doctor. Mm-hmm. And you grow up trusting your doctor, and like you mentioned, it's kind of like when you get in the adversarial side of an injury, whether it's a work injury, whether it's an auto accident, a slip and fall, or whatever type of injury you're getting in where there's negligence involved, mm-hmm. you're dealing with the insurance company's doctors.
Right.
And you're so used in your life. Well, you talk about people pushing back.
Yeah.
And then you've worked your job 100 for maybe 5, 10, 1, 2, 3 years, and you're used to. I always would say about myself is that I'm a truster. I treat people the way I want to be treated, and I trust people, right? So you would automatically think somebody had your best interest. You're paying for the insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And the doctor, when you walk in, it's not the case all the time.
Yeah. It's a different scenario. It really is. And I think the words unbiased is something that you want to walk in and know you're hurt at work. The insurance company sets their panel physicians. So these are the doctors that are employed by the insurance company to look at your injury at the time when you get injured, hopefully, that say, let's see how you do. There's no diagnostics. I'm not talking about every panel physician, but they hesitate on the diagnostics because – you know what? They're going to ride this one out a little bit.
Well, wait a second.
And a diagnosis costs money.
My back is killing me.
I'm trying to save it.
My back is killing me, and the x-ray says nothing. I guess I'm okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Having said that, let's talk about the relationship with yourself as an attorney, Alan, and Dr. Rastogi. Whether it's a work injury or a personal injury, you get an injured worker, or you get somebody who's just been in an accident. Where's the relationship? Where's it take place?
Well, what I do is, if the client has somebody that a doctor that they want to see or whatnot, I always encourage them to do that because they're more comfortable with that. But a lot of times, people don't know where to go for traumatic injuries, and I have a number of doctors that I deal with, but one of them is Dr. Rastogi, who does a fabulous job.
Yeah,
and I'll say, look, if you need this type of procedure, you need this type of thing done, such as injections or things of that nature, I'll call Dr. Rastogi. My office will schedule the appointment for you. Dr. Rastogi's office is also, I know for a fact, because I have clients that have been to him, they do a very good job with following up, making sure everything is set up just properly, everything's timely. They do a very good job with that.
Yeah.
So, when people require these type of services, I definitely reach out to the doctors and make sure that my clients get the care that they need.
And doc, your office does something it's almost unheard of, where you try to get them in within 48 hours.
We do. We really do make a concerted effort to get them in very quick. And I think Alan and his firm are fantastic at understanding what their patient needs. They're not doctors, but they've been doing this for so long and they're so experienced that they get us a patient at the right time. They get us involved at the perfect opportunity to help that patient. It's not too early. It's not too late. So I really am impressed by them understanding our specialty and what we do and utilizing us effectively to help their patient.
And when you get an injury victim, first of all, you quarterback the cases. I know that, which means obviously when it comes to you, you can oversee the entire range of care. What's the process when they've been through the ringer with the insurance company? They're going through it, and now all of a sudden, you probably walk in, like this. You know what I mean? Like they trusted their doctor their whole life. They've just been beat up for I don't know how many months.
Sure.
And, where do you go from there, Doc?
Well, there's lots of scenarios where someone gets in an injury and they don't know what to do. Exactly how Alan brought it up. They might go to their family doctor. That might be the first doctor they see, or their chiropractor, their physical therapist, or a family friend. And, that family doctor may not handle an injured patient. Mm-hmm. So they'll potentially send him over to us in therapy. Mm-hmm. And then once we've seen the patient, or the therapy center has seen the patient, that, you know, we're most likely the groups that will say, who's handling your case? Like, this is a complicated process.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuances to it. There's a lot of paperwork mm-hmm. to it. And if you don't represent yourself in the right way, in the most accurate way, yeah. you know, if you say, oh, well, you know, how are you doing, patient X? I'm doing great. Well, they're gonna think that you're doing great, that you no longer require medical care.
So there's also this push and pull in a patient's mind. And I've seen this with all of our clients.
Agreed.
Because, you know, if I report my injury, am I going to get fired? Am I going to have, you know, are they going to put me on light duty and then get rid of me later? Now you have COVID in the mix where people are really afraid to report. Do I go out and just let them lay me off and go off unemployment, or do I go on workers' compensation? There's a lot of decisions that have to happen now, and then you throw COVID in the mix where people are petrified. They can't even make their ends meet as it is.
And they're getting beat up by their either employer. I had a union guy call me up a couple of weeks ago. It's a great example of somebody who goes through a convoluted situation to the point where before he even called, we have an injury program. He's a guy who was working on the tracks. He works for SEPTA, and he pulled his, I guess, feet out. Next thing you know, he's been laying. The doctor sends him back to work, or not back to work, but at home because of COVID, like you mentioned. While he's just waiting, his feet are swelling, and so are his ankles.
Yeah.
Literally, he's at home. He's afraid to do anything. Finally, after months of waiting since November, he finally makes the call. Still didn't want to go see his attorney or anybody. Still wants to wait. I'm like, listen. And then he calls back a week later. And then he tells me, the doctor says, there could be a heart issue. because it could be congestive heart. I mean, the point is, I'm saying he's already been beat up so bad by the doctor and his employer that he's in fear, or she could be in fear before they even get to somebody, to the point where they don't even want to help themselves.
And then there's patients that just hate going to the doctor, period, and don't want to know what's going on.
Right.
And they're trying to suffer through. Then they have all of this stuff going on in their heads about, you know, losing their job and how long are they going to be out if they really do identify an injury.
And there's a concern of looking, quote unquote, weak. Mm-hmm. You went to the doctor because you got hurt, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to everyone gets hurt, tough it out.
Right.
And, I want to balance the other side of the issue is the employer and their doctors. You know, they see a lot of injuries and they have to try to filter out. There are always going to be people who just don't want to work.
Well,
right?
That's the other malingerers, piece. I was just going to say.
Malingerers, fainters, right?
People.
And so I want to balance that side that I think, Alan's group does a really good job, and a lot of the other attorneys and other physicians that we work with do a good job of understanding, is this a real injury?
Right.
And that's when we get involved.
Vetting. Sure.
You have to vet the patient properly and know when it's a real injury and when it's maybe someone who, most likely doesn't have a real case, and making sure you triage that appropriately. But when someone has a real injury and you've identified that, then at that point, you really have to do your level best to help them.
Alan, you're dealing with a lot of different types of people.
If I could add just one thing.
Sure, please.
A lot of people, when they go to their family doctors, you go to an internist or whatever it is, and they aren't necessarily used to dealing with, let's say it's a work injury or a car accident or a slip and fall or something like that. And they're like, oh, well, here's a prescription. I'll see you in a month.
Yeah.
Well, you have to document these type of things so you can, should you have to go to litigation later, be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And just having a doctor give you a few pills and brush you off to the side is no way to go about this.
Yeah.
You need to have everything documented so you're prepared, because I assure you the insurance companies are going to have that.
Yeah.
And that's why we use doctors like Dr. Rastogi and refer, patients to them, because they do a good job and they do document everything. So when it comes time to go to trial, we have all our ducks in a row.
That's right.
So a lot of doctors, and that's why I said at the beginning, when you had mentioned that, some people like to go to their family doctors, a lot of doctors they're not set up to do it, number one.
Exactly.
They won't,
exactly.
And number one, number two, they're not going to do a deposition. They're not going to represent.
But how, there's no training, though, in medical school, too.
They don't want to go to court.
Yeah.
They don't want,
absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, but also in your world, Alan, you need to send your patients to qualified doctors in case there's a deposition, so the because the credibility jumps in there.
Oh, that's when you're at trial. The most one of the most important aspects of the case, obviously, is the plaintiff and whatnot. But your doctor that you're using, that you know that you're going to have testify in front of the jury, they have to be properly credentialed, mm-hmm. and they have to know what they're talking about, mm-hmm. and they have to know what they're doing.
So,
and I know I know in Dr. Rastogi's practice they do. But that's the most important thing. You get a doctor that's not used to giving a deposition, and it just looks bad.
So that's the most important part is, you know, the insurance companies with the 90-day rule in Pennsylvania.
For workers' comp.
Right, for workers' comp. They're trying to control that medical because in 90 days, a lot happens in 90 days.
And they they can document for that first 90 days how you're not injured.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're building a case, almost building a case against you before you're even allowed to go to the doctor.
Yeah. And remember the House bill that was up to try to push it to 180 days?
Oh, yeah. That was horrible.
You're done in 90 days. But, you know, and I think that over time, and this is why patients need to get a workers' compensation lawyer who knows what they're doing, who understands the law, because not everyone has to follow that 90-day rule. So,
well, no, there's exceptions to that.
Yeah, I mean, they
have to have a list posted in the job site of the specific panel doctors. And if there's not one posted, even though they're going to tell you, you have to go to this doctor, you do not.
Right.
So there are many exceptions to that rule. That's why it's very important to get your lawyer right away so he can guide you appropriately.
And second opinions, too. People don't realize, okay, even if you're bound to that panel, you can still get a second opinion. And you can see another doctor that's not listed as a specialist on that panel that's posted in the workplace.
Exactly.
And then the other two pieces that people don't know is you have to sign at the time of your employment that you will see if you get injured. These are the panel physicians and at the time of injury. And that's where everybody misses it, because when the patient's out the door in the ER, they're not getting another signature. So there's such a small percent.
Right.
And that's the part, and I'm sure you guys both deal with this so many times, specifically Alan, you know, where patients are just trained, oh, I got to see the company doctors,
Well, you make a great point, and the fact of the matter is that's why we're so fortunate to have doctors like Dr. Rastogi.
Absolutely.
Who are willing to, in many ways, take the risk to see an injured worker, especially when it's a claim petition, mm-hmm. when there's somebody who has been denied their claim. Alan, what is the I think it's a large portion of injured workers as a protocol.
Yeah.
And this includes those who are catastrophically injured because they're typically approved. But how many get denied or disputed their claim, even if it's a temporary claim, before they recover from their injury? And if that happens, okay, if it wasn't for medical providers like the docs, there'd be nobody to treat them.
There wouldn't be. You have to make sure that, like I said earlier, everything is, you know, documented and your ducks are in a row. Because if it's not, they're going to take advantage of that, and they're going to use
it. Well, it's a large percentage of people they deny.
Absolutely. And then what they do is they deny it, and then you have to file your claim petition, and then they fight you for it. And they're not paying you over this time, and they try to starve you back to work. That's why you got to get right on it and have an attorney right away.
To have that medical proof documentation. Doc, how important is it for you to be working with good attorneys when you're taking a chance on a case where you know it's an injured individual, they got a bad situation, and at this point, you know, somebody's got to fight for your bills?
Well, I'll give you the scenario where I think it's most important. So if you have, you know, you've never had an injury before, you've never been hurt, and then you get hurt at work, it's very clear cut, it's black and white, those are very straightforward cases. I think where it gets more important in terms of the skill level of the professionals involved in the case is when you have someone who has been injured before and they got better, and now they've been injured again, and there's a new injury with new symptoms, and you've got to do the work to really sit with that patient and try to figure out, what is the new injury? What are the new symptoms? What is directly related to their injury? And how do we show that in a meaningful way? And I think that's where you need you need time with your physician, mm-hmm. and you need someone who's been through that and can document that
expertise.
And can help quarterback that case.
Huge.
And you need a great legal team to help fight for you, because what they will typically try to do is say, You know, Mr. Smith, you had a pre-existing condition and you got injured and you were, you know, you've been working full time, no unpaid time off, no vacations, you know, you haven't left work early for years and years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Years.
Yeah. And we're going to reward you.
Now
yeah.
you got injured. Yeah. Oh, that's a pre-existing condition.
Yeah, but not to interrupt you, Doc, but also, isn't there a, it's still a workers' comp injury. If you have, let's say you have a bone spur on your foot. Okay, and your job is to stand, and you're standing all day. Now you have an aggravated injury.
Sure.
And that's still technically a workers' comp injury.
That's compensable. Right? Absolutely it is. You can have an aggravation. It happens all the time.
All the time. And people don't realize, I had this bone spur for 20 years. It's, what am I going to say? Get a foot x-ray now? Yeah.
People have these pre-existing conditions all the time. But you're able to go about your life and do your daily routines or do whatever you're doing at work.
Yeah.
Now something happens, and now it's changed.
It's hard. Yep.
So, that's the reason why you got to get right on these things, is because if it is an aggravation case, you've got to get all the prior records. You got to get the new records. You got to have the doctor differentiate the two. Dr. Rastogi is great at that. My firm, you know, if you call in, mm-hmm. we'll have somebody out to see you that day, maybe within an hour or so. And sometimes
awesome.
It'll be me.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't be everywhere all the time, but I go out to my clients' houses whenever they ask me to. I drop off the settlement
awesome.
Checks when they need it. We like to give a lot of personal attention to our clients because I think that's important.
Yeah. But listen, note to self, okay? If you buy yourself a new pair of Vince Camuto boots and that bone spur is starting to aggravate, it's not a work injury.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
Let's not drain the system here.
Note to self, Google Vince Camuto boots.
Yeah, right. Here, I'm going to listen to the podcast. You know what's interesting? Notice.
Yeah.
Okay. Given notice when you're injured. Okay, so this is for a work injury.
Certainly.
Okay. What's the statute on that?
PA. There's a couple different ones that they have that they'll still pick up the claim. But the minute anything happens at work, even if it's something that maybe isn't bothering you right there, but you had some type of fall or something fell on you or whatever the case may be, you should have that documented immediately.
Exactly.
Don't sit there and say, it's not bothering me this second, because as Dr. Rastogi and I pointed out earlier, you know, you can have a case where you were injured in an accident or in an accident, didn't feel pain right away, but feel it down the line. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you want to make your claim, and they're like, well, you never reported this case. You got it. No, if something happens, you report it immediately, no matter how big or how small, just so there's some documentation.
We've had defense attorneys, on the show. Okay, and
that must have been fun.
Yeah, it was. I was.
I wasn't at that show. I would love to do their show.
What's interesting about that is, so the host attorney brought the defense attorney in because they went to college together, right?
That's cool.
And I'm always respectful, you know. Except the second half of this show is going to get rough, but we'll talk about that later. Having said that, I was gentle, but at the same time, you know, you have in some situation PA 120 days to report that.
Certainly.
But like you said, Alan, if you don't report that injury right away, that night they're going to say, well, maybe he was playing basketball. Why didn't he report? When in many cases, you're just trying to do somebody a favor.
Of course, if you're loyal to your employer. You're loyal to your employer. You know, you like your job, you're doing what you do. And you think, I'm not going to do anything about it. And then
Monday,
it comes back
and
bites you.
It doesn't feel any better.
You don't want to be labeled as a whiner.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the other thing.
You don't want to be categorized.
And by the way, you mentioned, some of the individuals that may not be injured. They're far few between. I know union guys that, even though work comp money is livable, obviously, especially the max, they lose almost their entire pay, half their pay, by doing it. They don't want to be there. They're doing everything they can.
They want to get back to work.
Right. They want to be back to work.
Right.
Yeah.
So individuals that are, pulling a fast one are really hurting everybody else. Doc, talk about the practice in pain management and managing cases from that point of view. You can handle all parts of the case, but sometimes you're dealing with an acute injury, sometimes it's a long-term chronic injury. Talk about you know, your approach there, how you handle it. There's a lot of different ways to do it, and there's absolutely. And you're trying to protect them, obviously, from addiction issues and all those things.
No, 100%. I mean, so you have this 90-day period that, you know, the patient's treating typically. So we're usually seeing them after that. So by that point, if they still have pain, it's a chronic issue. And so now you need to incorporate more into your plan than you would if it was an acute issue. So by that time, usually they've done therapy. They've gotten their diagnostics. We're looking at them, and now we're talking about, okay, how can we help you from the use of medications? What's an appropriate and compliant medication treatment plan for you? What is the non-surgical interventions that we can do for you that will hopefully get you back to work or get you feeling better and lessen your need for pharmaceutical agents? And then if those don't work, what are the other options in terms of a minimally invasive surgery that we might be able to do, or we have some great trusted surgical partners in the community who do fantastic work? When it comes to, I think the most complicated piece and the most debatable piece is, how do you treat someone with medication management nowadays?
Yeah.
And you have huge spectrums to this. You have people who don't believe in it at all. And if you're in pain, they're not really willing to help you in that format. And then you have people whose sole practice is to put their patients on high-dose opiates. Almost all of their patients are on that. And,
scary.
You know, that's very scary. They're not doing their patient community as a whole a good service, right? And so I think, you know, when you're in the middle of that, when you're a balanced clinician and you're trying to help your patient, we have the skill set and we have the tools to be able to say, okay, what are the non-narcotic medications that you have tried? What is your scenario right now in terms of your pain? What's appropriate for you? What drug classes are appropriate? If you're someone who's already undergone lots of different surgeries, then you're more likely to have chronic pain issues and severe intractable pain issues than maybe someone who hasn't undergone any interventions yet. And so you have to treat that differently. You know, there's structural changes that happen. There's scar tissue that forms around nervous systems that can cause ongoing pain. And so when you incorporate something like a controlled substance for your patient, then you have to put them on a monitoring program. You know, you're triaging their risk. Are they a low risk patient? Are they a moderate risk? Are they a high risk? And then you're doing urine drug screen monitoring based on a schedule that's tiered to their risk status.
Right.
And then you're making sure that you're following up with your patient. And generally, those patients we're seeing every 4 weeks to monitor them, if not even, you know, even more frequently.
Well, pain management itself, by its, you know, the name is, you know, it's it says it all, really, because you've seen some really difficult situations where somebody's got unbearable nerve pain, which is, I've seen it one particular time. Thank God it let up, but it was unbelievable to watch. By the way, it was that accident with my wife. Gotcha. She got the surgery,
yeah.
And 2 weeks afterwards, that nerve was still, she was screaming. I remember for at least a day, I'm thinking, my God, this may not recover. She did, thank God.
Yeah.
The nerve was compressed so long that eventually, it went back to normal. But
well, I think the tough part with pain management, and obviously I'm not the expert. We're sitting here with Dr. AJ Rastogi, who absolutely is the expert. But pain,
well, who do you think he calls when he's got a tough case? Me.
Totally.
He
yeah.
said, Joe, I got hey, something.
Joe, like, what do we give him?
Joe, what's the dose on this?
Regimen.
Can you help me out?
Doc, I'm on the air right now. I'll get back to you on that.
I need a lifeline here.
Right. But yeah, think, let me call my wife.
No, go ahead. You know, I mean, listen,
she knows it all.
I'll say this, you know, pain is what a patient says it is,
yeah.
Okay? And that is the most subjective thing that is very difficult, obviously, because your pain is different than my pain. We could be in the same accident, same injury,
sure.
Same diagnostics, you know, whether it's a disc herniation or whatever, and you're looking at the patient like your pain scale is a 2? You're a 3? Like, right. Why are you even here? But it's like, but you know there's a major problem going on in the spine, you
right.
know, or there could be cord impingement or whatever it is. And you're just looking at the patient like, what the hell? And then you have, you know, some, and that would be like a tough woman like me being able to be like, yeah, I'm fine.
Exactly.
You know, and then you get some wimpy little dude, right? You know?
I like how it became
oh,
a dude.
Man.
Who hasn't been through childbirth, okay?
Strong woman and
okay.
wimpy dude. I like that transition.
She's looking at me.
You know, okay, yeah.
She
won't,
I guess. She won't,
yeah.
I guess.
But think about it. Like, it's so real how someone else, that could be that same exact injury, can be a 9 or 10 or just off the chart. And my point is that, it is very difficult because you don't know what type of intentions does that person have. Are they drug seeking? Are they trying to self-medicate, which is, you know, another reason to do urine toxicology and to do that urine drug screen, make sure there's no other illicit drugs in the system.
Sure.
Because this is how people run into trouble, and you cannot take it lightly.
Well, I can tell you this, and we've talked about this before, managing, and I'll ask Alan, when you're dealing with somebody who's interested, in your world,
yeah,
setting expectations from day one.
Sure.
Because here I am injured. This case may not settle, or may go to court, and it may not happen in 3 months. It may take some time.
Certainly.
And during that time, it's a very stressful time, and as an attorney, one of your jobs and one of the big attractive parts of being a good attorney is not just that you know the law and that you're outstanding in the courtroom. It's obviously dealing with your clients.
Sure.
And so you might have this client for a couple of years, and they may go through a lot of different stressful situations. So you're as much a regular counselor as a legal counselor. Having said that, when you refer somebody over to somebody, and you know that there's a significant injury here, having that covered and knowing that somebody's going to be looking out for every part of that person's life,
right,
has got to be a comfort for you, because you're referring them to somebody,
sure,
not only legally but medically, and when it comes to issues like addiction and managing that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Well, I think the most important thing with at least myself and my clients, and our firm and our clients, is you have to keep the clients informed. Look, litigation, takes a long time. These court systems are clogged as it is. Now you have COVID just took
place.
Right.
These courts are shut down. You're not having jury trials in New Jersey until, other than some small counties are trying some small ones, you're really not having jury trials in New Jersey until they have it pushed out, so that sometime in the middle or end of March, and they're not even sure whether that's they're going to go forward then. You have the same problem in Philadelphia. Everything's backed up. So you got to set your client's expectations, but you just got to be honest with them, spend time with them, let them know what's going on. And with regard to the doctors that we send to, I only refer to doctors that are, that I know will treat my patients the way that I treat their patients the way I treat my clients.
That's right.
And I don't want somebody that's just going to, here's some pills and go away. Mm-hmm. That's not the way you go about this. Yeah. The people need to know what is going on with their case, and they deserve to know. It is their case.
Yeah.
What about setting expectations from day one? In other words, somebody that comes in to your office, they're sitting down.
Again, you have to, go. Every case has its good points and its bad points. Very rarely do you find a case that doesn't have something that's a downside.
Right.
So, but you just got to be honest with your clients and say, look, these are the good points. These are the bad points. This is how we're going to, maximize the good points. This is how we're going to minimize the bad points. And luckily for us, usually it works out.
I have to bring this up, though, too. And, from being in this business for so long, and the both of you guys have probably seen this firsthand or experienced it at some point, you have somebody who's injured. It may be a real injury or not. It could be something that maybe is a little bit more, I hate to use the word fabricated. I don't want to sound like somebody's lying.
Somebody who's,
Yeah, maybe just, almost exaggerating their injury. You have to understand something. If this insurance company thinks for 1 minute that they're being taken advantage of, it is more probable that they're going to pay somebody to go out and videotape you.
Oh, that happens all the time.
All the time. And we had a case one time. The guy had a neck injury, okay? Comes up in court. Guess what they have a video of the guy doing?
Bench pressing 400 pounds.
No, what he was doing? Wait, not even, because that would probably be like, okay, you're healing.
Okay.
They had the guy with the stake in the ground on the beach doing a shot, okay, putting his head down and running around the pole, okay?
Oh, no.
And then running to the next thing, hopping over a beach chair. Oh, yeah. So somebody actually followed this guy down. Now, we were all shocked. We didn't know.
That's happened to me in my practice, where somebody, you get told one thing, and then, the insurance, especially in a case which could be larger, there's larger policy limits for the defendant.
Yeah. Bigger money,
They'll go out and spend the money to do these videotapings and the surveillance. But the, in my practice, I don't want to be involved in that. If you're not really hurt,
absolutely.
And there's been a number of times when I found out after the fact that, you know, they were not being quite candid with me.
Right.
And I have to send that client packing.
You're
and
investing,
I have to boot it.
Yep. You're investing your time.
Reputation.
Your money.
I don't want any, I don't want to be known as a lawyer that's representing people that aren't hurt. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. And I had I was standing outside with the gas and ran into a friend of mine who is injured badly. And he called me a couple weeks later and he said to me, I just got a letter from my insurance company that he was videoed while, because another one of our friends was lived across the street. Now he was on crutches and it actually proved his case. But
well, I was just going to mention that. You know, it goes the other way as well. The insurance companies will go out and they'll videotape these people and they catch them and they are not well. And you can see them like limping down the stairs, hobbling around. So
what do
a lot
do
of times,
those films though, toss them out.
No, they have to turn them over to me in discovery. So actually, I'll play them at the trial. It
absolutely
helps my case.
Yeah, 100%.
This guy was in pain, just standing there. Doc, you know you've been doing this a long time, and when you're working, you know, during COVID, and we'll just obviously things have changed. There's a new normal. And
yes, there is.
And you mentioned at the beginning, you never in a million years thought you'd be doing telehealth. And Alan, the same thing with you. Nobody could have probably ever imagined a deposition by video, exactly. You know, especially by a defense attorney. And you're sitting there, you know, I mean, but in your situation, Doc, what has been the most new normal, number one? And number two, what do you think is going to be sticking around?
Well, I think, you know, the most new normal is to just getting used to not having patients for a while in the clinic at all.
That's
and
crazy.
I would come into the office and there's no one. It's like a ghost town and all of our patients are being handled by telehealth, and getting used to seeing my patients over the phone or via video call. That took me a while just to get used to that, because I love seeing my patients in person. You know, I just like seeing that face-to-face interaction.
There's nothing like it.
And that, I think, is the new normal for everyone, is to just be able to overcome this bit of social isolation we've all had to go through, not even medical, just personal lives.
And what do you think, if there's anything that comes from this, what will stick around moving forward? In other words, in your, you know, neck of the woods, if anything.
You know, I think overall as a community, I think we're going to be more grateful for what we had pre-COVID when we get it back. I really am. And then also just being more resourceful overall and understanding that maybe you didn't need 100 of those things in your life. Mm-hmm. Maybe to be happy, you need less in life. And, you know, companies are doing this now. They're realizing people can work fairly remotely,
right.
You know, and it's working for them. And it's also better maybe for their lifestyle to be able to be home with the kids and work from home. So we've tried to do that internally, too. But, you know, again, getting back to people coming back to work and opening the economy and having people face to face, nothing reproduces that. And so that for me is when I think we'll be back to pre-COVID.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm voting for the kids to go back to school.
Oh,
That's all. I mean, for me, I can work from home. I can work remotely. I can do whatever. Because I've done that my whole life.
You know what's amazing about, I mean, so many professionals, you know, it's been life-changing in so many different ways. And God, you know, you never know what industry you're going to be in. There's plenty of attorneys whose fields, like we're fortunate, workers' comp has been, aside from the fact that there's less clients when, you know, getting injured when there was a when everybody was, you know, quarantined.
Yeah. Sure.
But the point is, workers' comp, there's no jury.
No.
Okay.
It's just the
judge. But personal injury, like you mentioned, and criminal law, there's juries. The jury are your peers. We got about a minute on this. The new normal, I mean, what you're taking from this, and what do you think is going to carry on after it's over?
Well, I think it's just going to take, you know, the jury pools a while to get back to, you know, feeling comfortable. Because, you know, let's say in Philadelphia, you're sitting in a room with 200 people. You know, and then they assemble them into panels of 40, and then you got to go up to the courtroom, and then you get picked through by the lawyers, and you're with total strangers. You know, I think it's going to take the people a while even to just feel comfortable being in a large crowd.
Yeah, I think the masks are going to stay around for a long time.
I agree with that.
Just even by choice.
How about the technology in the legal, you know, doing Zoom? a number of attorneys who said, well, I don't have to travel as much to do some things.
Yeah, like the depositions and whatnot. I mean, it is logistically easier to be sitting in your office at your desk just asking questions on a TV screen. I mean, it just is. But I like to be there because if you're there with somebody in person, you can really size them up. You get a better feel. I mean, everybody 100%. Can watch somebody on TV and not really know who they are.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. And, you know, with COVID, I think it just shows, you know, how precious life really is. I mean, I've lost family members too to it, and it's this is going to be a little while till we get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, listen, everybody, Marla?
Yeah.
Our first one in the books.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you know.
Fastest hour in radio just happened.
Joe, we didn't even take our breaks.
I know. I didn't want to take them because we're going so well.
I know.
Alan, if you would, your contact information for our listeners?
Certainly. I'm with the law offices of Craig Altman. The main office is at 19 South 21st Street, Philadelphia, PA, 191033. Phone number 215-569-4488. We also have a satellite office in Vineland, New Jersey, on 1173 East Landis Avenue in Vineland. And we have a number of satellite offices, as well as, like I said, we are more than happy to come to you. And that same day that you call us, we can be out to your house.
Awesome. Doc, contact information?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can reach us on our website, www.naspacmd.com. All of our locations are there, our physicians, their respective phone numbers, and also a chat box. So we can get you in very quickly.
Yep. Awesome. How was it, Marla? Congratulations.
Listen, I'm not giving my contact number.
awesome, awesome launch show. I
this
mean, I'm so
fun.
Excited.
This is fun. This is great. This is awesome. No, I mean,
and you booked a couple heavyweights, and it was, like I said, the fastest radio hour in radio.
Well, you know, it's so great to get two different perspectives from two outstanding professionals that work together as a team for the commonality of the patient, for the client, to give them everything that they need to recover. And, you know, we've been in this industry for such a long time, and who you choose your path with is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
From the beginning to the end. You can't stand there a year after and say, I wish I saw Dr. So-and-so.
Especially life-changing situation. No. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to Marla and Company. I'm Joe Dougherty.
I'm so fancy.
we're going to be on every biweekly at 10 o'clock in the morning on WWDB 860 AM. Fantastic show.
I'm always your company, too.
Absolutely. For our guests and for our host, Marla Vitterolo, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.